The Bad Boyfriends Boot Camp by Poppy Dolan. Read by Lizzie Wofford for Saga Egmont. To Mum and Dad. For everything. And then some. Chapter 1. This feels weird. Sam fiddled with the pile of tiny black napkins by the bar snacks. He shook his head. I can't. This is just...
We're on a date,
Molly muttered through clenched teeth.
Why don't you try and act like it? Honestly, it doesn't take much effort to make me feel special. Tell me I look nice or ask me about my week so far.
So when I sort of...
Oh, sparkling conversation, Sam. Well done.
You're not helping, he growled back under his breath.
Well, forgive me for wanting to feel like we're connecting on a deeper level.
Molly threw back the last mouthful of martini in her glass.
I can't believe we've spent all these years together, and being out with you is less intellectually stimulating than a braised lettuce on news night.
Sam's shoulders sunk as he leant back against a padded brown leather barstool. The light dimmed in his usually sparkly chocolate brown eyes.
But come on. This just doesn't feel right, does it? Of course it does,
Molly replied quietly through pursed lips, smoothing down her midnight blue satin top.
But you're my sister,
Sam whined. The barman, not 2 feet behind them, froze. Unclenching her teeth quickly to produce a smile big enough to be seen from space, Molly spoke clearly and with her eyes on the now pale bartender.
Yes, but if you don't make an effort on this practice date with me now, someone you know so well you apparently don't mind embarrassing them in a nice bar, how are you going to know what to do with an actual girlfriend?
Should you ever get another one, that is. Oi. Sam coloured slightly at the top of his ears. I only agreed to this because you said you wouldn't get mean about it. I told you everything in confidence. Don't score points off me now. I'm a miserable, pathetic shell of a man already. The tension in Molly's face dropped away in an instant, and she put down her glass, giving the poor barman an excuse to escape as he whipped it from the bar and headed to the dishwasher, still feeling a bit of a chill down his spine.
You're not pathetic. You're a lovely, amazing bloke.
I'm sorry I had that little dig. You know that too many martinis make me think I'm living in Dynasty. She patted his hand. Now, come on. I'm only here because I really want to help. But I didn't say the process would be easy. In fact, I did mention that it would involve hard work, some mortification, and a heavy dose of home truths. Plus, you paying for everything. Speaking of which, I think I could do with a mojito. Sam rolled his eyes. The things I do for love. Chapter 2. Molly's mission to help out her unlucky-in-love younger brother had started the week before. It wasn't as if Molly had intended to stick her nosy nose into his love life issues, but the scene that had greeted her after a hard day's work just couldn't be ignored. The gravelly, whiskey-soaked tones of Johnny Cash rolled out from under Sam's door. To Molly Cooper, this was the final clue in a Hansel and Gretel-style trail to find a severely down-at-heel brother. The lights were all out in the flat that night. Molly could just make out the recognisable stripy carrier bag of the corner shop on the kitchen table, holding 2 out of what had been 6 cans of Carling. Sam's door was shut fast against the world, and Folsom Prison Blues seemed to be the soundtrack to his evening's mopathon. Molly knew these signs well, but didn't exactly relish them. Of course, it's pretty miserable to see your brother feeling low, but after 4 nights straight, the blues start to seep into your own head. Molly didn't have much time for negative feelings. They got in.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?